Hello, I'm Royce Gomez, founder of Royce Talks, and have been recognized as a leading authority for coaching and training entrepreneurs and executives, speaking to audiences ranging from 20 to more than 1,000. My articles have been published in the Huffington Post, Unlimited Woman, and Charity Magazine. I am co-author of The Stories and Daily Habits of Highly Successful Women and international bestseller Discover Your Destiny, Live Your Dreams, Love Your Life. I have effectively coached successful business owners who were in transition, both in business and their personal life. Today, we are talking with my very special guest, Jennifer Myers. Jennifer grew up in Ohio and graduated from Ohio State University before moving to Chicago and eventually starting her own dance company. But in 1996, the sudden death of her dance partner prompted her to question life, and she made a series of bad decisions from that point until 2003, when she was in a real estate career and got arrested and indicted for participation in a marijuana trafficking ring. So she had that struggle that went on for years through pretrial and sentencing. And today she uses that story to give back and share with women on the importance of restorative justice and nonviolence and forgiveness. Today she operates her business, L.A. Myers Consulting, in the sunny beaches of California. So welcome, Jennifer, and I can't wait to hear more about this fascinating journey that you've been on.
Hi, Royce. Thank you for inviting me on your podcast.
Oh, my pleasure. I really would love to start by getting our listeners more familiar with who you are and where you started. So your background is fascinating, from dance to real estate and many other things. So share a little bit about your story and where it started, please.
Sure. So I basically grew up in Ohio on a farm. My dad was a farmer. And when I was young, I was always involved. I was on a gymnastics team, and I was a cheerleader, captain of my cheerleading squad. I was a top student in school, so I was always finding a way to excel. And at that point, after I graduated from high school, I decided to, because I had been dancing and really loved to dance, and made the decision to audition for the Ohio State Dance Company. And I got into the Ohio State Dance Program and spent the next 4 years, training, dancing, choreographing at the Ohio State University, until I graduated in 1991, and that's when I moved to Chicago. And I really loved dancing. I ended up creating my career in dancing in Chicago. Modern dancing really doesn't make a lot of money, so I worked a full-time job as I was dancing and performing at night, and I started making connections with different smaller modern dance companies and getting into companies, becoming a pickup dancer, until I started my own groups and my own company and performing at different universities throughout the Midwest. I was really enjoying my time there. And actually, to tell you the truth, that is when, in about 1994, before my partner died, is when I ended up meeting a man who my sorority sister from college introduced me to, who ended up being involved in running a marijuana trafficking operation. So that's actually when I met him, and about a few years after that, my dancing partner died. And when she died, I went off on, really a pretty big spiritual internal search, and I went to India, took me to a commune there, and I ended up then eventually moving to San Diego to get involved in a community, a spiritual meditation community in San Diego. And that is when, a little bit later, I did get involved in working for my friend's real estate investment company. But I'll let you ask me another question. There's a lot there.
Oh, we have so many things in common. I used to live in Chicago and moved there around that same time frame, a couple years earlier. And And I hung out in the dance community. I'd never been a part of it, but it was just a fun community to be around. And I've recently started taking dance lessons, and I know how important the partner is to you because you are so connected in everything that you do. You just have to be connected to perform dancing with excellence. And so tell us how that affected you, because even though it wasn't your life partner, they become extremely close to you.
Oh, as you're talking, I'm getting goosebumps. You know, I love that you asked me this question because a lot of people haven't really focused on that part, but it was a huge, huge turning point in my life. And so basically that this her name was Jolynn. She was a woman, and she was my dancing partner in the sense that we were together in a few different dance companies. And then we started a collaboration with a professor at the University of Wisconsin who was a music professor and composition professor. And he composed an hour-length work, which included an opera singer, a pianist, a celloist, and then Jalen and I. And we had about eight different dance pieces that we choreographed, that we danced together in this hour-long piece. And we spent about a year and a half performing this in Chicago and at different universities in the Midwest. And it was during the end of that time that, and Jalen I knew was always a little bit sick. She'd had issues with her health, although I never really knew why or how it started. And all of a sudden, one day, I get a call saying that she'd gone to her job, and she had an aneurysm, and it went into her in her head, in her brain, and she collapsed. And she was taken to the hospital and was in a coma for one day. And I went and I drove directly to the hospital. I was actually in she was in Kalamazoo, Michigan at the time. And when I got there, she already just looked completely different. And about 3 hours later, they pulled the plug and she was gone. And it just really, in the beginning, I felt stunned and in shock. She was like, I think like a sister to me is what it felt like. And I think in some ways I felt responsible for keeping her safe. So I think there's a little bit of codependency going on there. But it just happened so suddenly, and we were so young. And that combined with the fact that I felt responsible also for her well-being in some way, it just crushed me. And I think it was a good eye-opener. I spent like the next 6 months just sort of being a little bit destructive to myself. You know, I was over-drinking, I was smoking, staying up late. Like, I just was didn't know what to do with my grief. And then one day it really hit me, and I said to myself, I need to do something to turn this around. I can't stand the pain. There has to be more to life. And I'd always felt like when I was a little girl, there was more to life than what I could see. And it just started from there. And I just was on fire with finding the answers to why are we here? And I don't know if we ever find those answers, but that is what took me on this journey.
Well, Jennifer, you mentioned something that I think many, many people struggle with, and you said that you got involved in smoking and drinking too much and the drug culture, and it was really masking the grief that you never dealt with. And when you mentor those who have struggled with addiction, you find out that the addiction isn't the problem. It's the thing that they're masking with the addiction that they need to address that is the problem. So spend 2 or 3 minutes diving into those poor choices and that lifestyle that you created for yourself.
Well, actually, you know, I was only really over drinking, and smoking was only really cigarettes, but that happened for about 6 months. I don't know if you want to talk about the marijuana trafficking, but I had actually met, I'm going to talk about that. I met the man that introduced me to the business. He was actually a really good guy, and I really enjoyed him, and he had a lot of money, and he was from Beverly Hills. I met him about a year before Jolynn died. And I think for more than anything, I did not get involved because I was doing drugs. I got involved because it was a business. And there was a lot of money involved. And I saw the money that he was making. And I take full responsibility for getting involved. I asked to get involved. I think at that point, he had introduced me to a lifestyle that I hadn't had before. I mean, I was happy dancing and not making money, but it was quite tempting to all of a sudden be surrounded by this man who lived a high lifestyle, whose friends lived a higher lifestyle, and I began having access to being able to travel with him and to have nice clothes and to live in a nicer place. And I really didn't want to be tied to him to have that. So I thought, well, I can do this. And I guess in some ways I definitely believed that marijuana was a bit of a harmless drug, if you're going to put a category to it. And people had smoked it. I'd smoked it. And that was the shield for, well, it's okay if I get involved and try this. So I started driving it with him. And it started with like 200 pounds, and then it got to 700 pounds, and then it got to 1,300, and then it finally ended up getting to 5,000 to 9,000 pounds of marijuana throughout the course of 10 years.
Hmm. Yeah, the business side can be very attractive to people, and I've heard that from others who have been in that world and then exited from it, that the money side and the business side is really attractive. And as an entrepreneur where that trait is in you, it can be enticing. So share a little bit about that pre-sentence time in your life and what you were thinking and the awakening moments you had there, Jennifer.
During which time?
Your pre-sentencing, when you were awaiting a trial.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. I was finally arrested in 2002. That was a shattering moment. I have to tell you, when I was arrested, I was taken by surprise, taken downtown to a holding facility. And at that point, I literally felt parts of myself shatter inside. I was just couldn't believe what I had done to myself. For some reason, even though all of us that were involved in the trafficking, most of us were educated, we somehow didn't even consider the mandatory sentencing guidelines and how much time we would be facing. I was facing 10 years, and when my attorney told me that, I about fell out of my seat. I thought, no way, I'm not going to survive this. You know, what are my options? And I really saw how I had trapped myself. I spent, I was put on house arrest, and the 2.5 years it took for me to get sentenced when I was on pretrial was probably the hardest time of my life. Going into prison was challenging, but not knowing what my future held for 2.5 years, I also felt a bit unsafe because I was also stalked and bribed by other people in the conspiracy to not cooperate. Everybody ended up cooperating at some point. I didn't. And then I found out that my ex-boyfriend, who I hadn't been with for a while, had actually turned himself in and was cooperating with the government. So there was a lot of drama that was going on. At first it went from 10 years to 7 years to I was going to get maybe 3 years. Who knew? So that was the hardest, sitting with this unknown void. My life felt completely on hold and a void of not knowing what was going to happen. It really, I think, at that point began to create a lot of the strength that I have to face adversity.
Yeah. I am sure that the challenge has given you strength, because I know that that's why what we're supposed to learn as we face challenges is to grow stronger and to learn how to handle adversity with healthy behaviors. Now, you have turned your life around completely, and you have a ministry where you empower other women who have gone through similar journeys. You've spoken on a TEDx stage. So you've accomplished so much to turn your life around. I would love to hear where you're at now.
Oh, gosh, definitely. It has been quite a journey. I got to tell you, from the time I got out of prison in 2007, knowing that I wanted to help because I was so affected by the women that were inside, locked up in these long sentences, most of them mothers. And I knew it was my purpose to be a voice for what I had experienced. So I actually started, I have a book that was published in 2013. I wrote my story. I was always a secret writer and was writing when I was in high school. So it came natural to me. So once my memoir was published, it really propelled me into more of an advocacy world where I started connecting with people. I began speaking to kids in schools about making good choices. And then it moved into, I created L.A. Myers Consulting. L.A. Myers Consulting is a prison consulting business where I work with women like I was who are going into federal prison for the first time, who are scared, who want answers, who want to know what it really looks like, what can they expect. So that's one business that I have. And then about 4 years ago, I co-founded a nonprofit with my partner, Amy Wise, called Rise to Empower. Rise to Empower, we just finished. It's basically a nonprofit that empowers girls and women to make positive, powerful choices, positive, conscious choices. We actually just finished our first program with in collaboration with San Diego U.S. Federal Probation and their reentry program, working with women coming out of federal probation. So that just thrilled me because that was my, like, turnaround to now be welcomed into federal probation when before I was, a criminal in the system. So that has been really fantastic. I've also, besides Rise to Empower, at this point, I'm also, last year I worked on, and this year I am, again, working on the TEDx team. We helped produce the first TEDx inside a prison in San Diego. So we go in every week, twice a week, to work with the men inside Donovan Prison. Most of them are lifers, and we help them produce a TEDx. It's pretty amazing. So that's one other focus that I'm doing, and I just love working with these men. I thought I would only be working with women, but these men have definitely, definitely touched my heart. And I have a few other things on the horizon, but the TEDx talk was a great experience, too, that I did at TEDx Wilmington Women, and I met a lot of just powerful, wonderful women that we shared the stage with. So that was fantastic.
Wow. What an amazing turnaround. So I know that I have authors and speakers often as guests on my show, and, you know, everyone's goal is to get on a TEDx stage because it just provides so much in the way of credibility, and I want to ask what that was like for you.
Oh, I got to tell you, what a journey. I mean, last year, I got connected more with the TEDx world when I started working inside Donovan Prison and doing the TEDx inside there. And it was during that time, actually, I had met at a workshop the man who has the license for TEDx San Diego, Mark Lovett. He's just an incredible person. And, you know, he's like, hey, just apply for some TEDxes. So he really was encouraging for me to do that. And boom, when I got one, I just was over the moon and excited. I didn't realize, even though I'd worked with the men inside TEDx and I saw the speakers and I saw their talks transform, I didn't realize just how challenging it was to create your own TEDx talk and the pressure that it could create. I mean, this was exciting and excitement along with, okay, you know, there's a lot of work you take in the journey that we had to do, blog posts, sending videos of our progress. Luckily, Mark Lovett was my coach. He coached me, and you know, when I wrote my talk, he helped me tweak it and deliver it. And once I got there, I mean, it was a lot of work. The rehearsals were long, but the benefit of just the energy of being surrounded by this community of people, and it was speakers and the people like Ajit, the organizer at TEDx Wilmington, and his team putting it on, it just felt so loving and inspiring, and everybody was on the same team. I cannot begin to describe how powerful of an experience it is to give a TEDx talk, no matter where you're giving it. It's really not even about the stage. Really, the benefit is in the people that you meet and the process to get there. I mean, it's the journey.
I would agree with that, Jennifer. Thanks for sharing that. And I can tell the
Yeah.
passion. And TEDx just is full of energy and inspiration and innovation and excitement. So it's a great stage to be a part of. Before I ask you my next question, I just want to thank our sponsors for making Thrive, a Woman's Journey to Victory possible. We are speaking with my guest, Jennifer Myers, and hearing her incredible story, and it would not be possible without the help of my sponsors. My first sponsor is Pivot Business Consulting. Pivot Business Consulting facilitates training and coaching in leadership development, team communication, team building, and process improvement. Intern Pursuit, a subsidiary of Pivot, matches students to employers like Match.com, using a proprietary algorithm and assessments, helping employers document interns' tasks. To find out more, contact Pivot Business Consulting at 321-422-2166 or online at pivotbusinessconsulting.com. My second sponsor is Sociotech Academy. Sociotech Academy recognizes that we need a movement that finds the balance between technological advances and the ability of social frameworks to adapt to them. The rapid spread of infotech in each and every phase of our lives and the dependence of social communities on it has happened without the development of education and regulatory models in a timely fashion. To find out more about Sociotech Academy, go online at socio-tech.org or call them at 719-445-7101. And I want to thank both Sociotech Academy and Pivot Business Consulting for making Thrive, a Woman's Journey to Victory, possible. And as you can tell from phone numbers, we have listeners from around the country and in several countries around the world. And this is an amazing platform for women to share their story, to go from survival to thriving and from victim to victory. And we have a great guest who is sharing her story on the amazing transformation in her life. And so now I want to bring Jennifer Myers back and speak more with her. Welcome back, Jennifer.
Hi, Royce.
So what are your goals for the future? Because I cannot imagine as sharp of a businesswoman and with as much passion as you live life that you don't have something on the horizon that you can give us a sneak peek into.
Well, I've got a few things. One is, let's just call it a whisper. I've been talking to some producers, and there's a chance that we're in dialogues about some type of a show where I could be working with women in going into prison in some capacity. So that is something that would really thrill me, because that would really help get the message out and create some momentum, and also for my nonprofit. That's the first thing. The second thing, I'm in some dialogues about possibly focusing a bit more on girls that have been sex trafficked and diving more into that world, which I've always been hungry to get involved in. So that is something that's definitely sitting at the table right now, and I'm excited to see where that could go. And the third thing, which is something close to my heart, which I haven't really talked to people about much, is I really want to dive back into my writing. And last year I wrote a couple of children's books that just sort of came out of the blue. Looking for an agent for that, but also I really have a desire to write stories for young adults and, you know, to have an effect through sharing stories and even fiction stories that can have an impact on what our youth today are facing. So that's what I have going for this year. That's what I'm going to manifest.
Wow, I hope you keep us posted. I would love to hear more about the involvement from the TV show and the books.
Yeah.
So, Jennifer, if you'll reach back out to me and keep connected. Before we close out the show, I just want to ask you one or two tips that you can give for others who really resonate with the story that you've shared today.
I think, first of all, for me, it was really, really important, and I think no matter in what circumstance we're in that's adverse, to find and take some sense of responsibility. That, I think, makes it a lot easier to propel through an adverse situation when we actually find that sense of either why we're in this situation or not, oh my gosh, how did this happen? I don't think that question goes anywhere. I think it's magical once we say, okay, I am responsible in some capacity, and then the healing can really begin. And secondly, honestly, this sounds so simple, but to never, ever give up and to know that you can create what's in your heart, it is possible, and to follow your passion. Those are the keys. That's the key to the magic in our life.
Thank you for that. I think those are valuable tips for everyone, even if we're going through a totally different journey. So thank you for that nugget of wisdom.
You're welcome.
Well, our time is running short, but I want to just give a shout out to my sponsors once again before I ask my final question of you, Jennifer. I thank Pivot Business Consulting and Sociotech Academy for making Thrive, a Woman's Journey to Victory, possible, and conversations like the one we're having with Jennifer Myers. So, Jennifer, I know that people that are listening are going to really connect with you and want to hear more about your story and access some of your resources, including your books. So where can they find you online?
They can find me at www.jennifermyers, that's JennifermyersCO, or at my nonprofit site, www.risetoempower.org. They can also connect with me on Facebook and Twitter.
And just to be clear, risetoempower.org, is that the number 2 or to spell out the word 2?
Oh, it's T-O, Rise 2, T-O, Empower.
Excellent. I want people to be able to connect with you and to understand where to find you. So thank you. Well, once again, thanks for being my guest and sharing your story. I still appreciate having you.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be asked to be on here, and I love what you're doing with getting people's stories out. I think it's so very important, so I'm honored to be a part of this.
My pleasure. Well, Jennifer has mentioned where she can find her online, and you can find me on my Facebook page, Royce Gomez, Coach, Author, Speaker, or on Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram. But the easiest way to connect further with me is on my website, roycetalks.com. You can go on there and fill out the contact us page and share what I can do to help you. So thank you so much for joining us on Thrive, A Woman's Journey to Victory. There will be more to come.